upward and then to burst up, to tarmac, to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in the meadow and hear the grass sing, all these things in our memories fall, and the years to
in the great American Southwest, I bid you good evening, good morning, whatever the case may be, wherever you are across this great land of ours and, frankly, worldwide. This is Coast to Coast AM, and I'm Art Bell, and I thought this music would be most appropriate to open this hour with rather than my theme, because, folks, this is how it all began. Somebody sent me a fax which said, "Want to take a ride?" And that and the movie, of course, that inspired Want to Take a Ride with Jodie Foster, Combat. Anyway, what we're going to be talking about tonight in the first hour is probably the single most controversial alien contact story in modern times. Not understated. That of Dr. Jonathan Reed and the alien in the freezer story. And that, of course, understates what we're talking about. But in a moment, in case you've never heard it, we'll get underway, recap, and then tell you what's new. That's how it all began. A fax that said, "Do you want to take a ride? Want to take a ride?" And that was sent to me by Robert Wraith on behalf of Dr. Jonathan Reed, who had the experience. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Art. How are you?
I am just fine. And again, I want to thank you for beginning it all with that fax.
Thank you, Art.
Dr. Reed, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Art?
I'm fine. As I said at the beginning of the show, this is the most controversial alien contact story of modern times. There's no question about that. In the last couple decades, you have the most controversial story to tell. And I'm going to ask you to do something that is very painful for you, Doctor, in a short 101 kind of way. Run through, there are a lot of people out there who haven't heard it yet. We're not going to be able to do justice to it tonight, but if you would, from the beginning through the end, in the next 16 minutes, give us the story, and then in the second half hour, we'll catch up with what's new.
Okay. Well, my event took place in the Pacific Northwest, Washington State area, in the Cascade Mountain Range. And what happened was, in October, mid-October of 1996, I decided that I would take a day hike, with my dog, Susie, which is a golden retriever, and we'd take a ride up into the mountains some 60 miles east of Seattle, approximately 15 miles northeast of Snoqualmie Pass, that's in the Wilderness Lakes area, for a great day hike. We had done this many times before. I took a pack with a few day rations, a little dog food, a couple of cameras, because occasionally we'd find wildlife, and it's just a beautiful, pristine area. So we took off, and...
Let me just interrupt here. Might be added that that's the only way you shoot wildlife, right? You don't shoot wildlife. You don't take guns out and shoot wildlife.
No, I'm not a hunter.
You shoot them with cameras, and that's why they were there.
Yes, sir.
All right, proceed.
Anyway, we parked the car and started off walking up some trails for about an hour and a half, and we decided to take a less beaten path, a separate trail, And after walking for another probably 15, 20 minutes, all of a sudden my dog took off running, as she did occasionally. She would occasionally take off after raccoons and squirrels, you know, dog stuff.
Sure.
And barking wildly, and I didn't think much of it at the time. But soon after that, the barking tone changed. It changed to an angry sound, almost like she had found something that may have been a predator.
She was over the a rise from you, correct?
She was totally out of sight,
right,
over a rise,
yeah,
probably
just...
probably close to 300-400 feet in front of me.
Oh, okay.
And as the barking changed, I decided that if this was, in fact, a predator, a bear, there are bear in the area and cats, that maybe I better consider the fact that I may have to untangle her with something. So I dropped my pack and I picked up a branch that was alongside the path, about the size of a baseball bat, and proceeded up to the rise. And as I reached the rise, I witnessed that my dog was involved with a creature, a being about the size of a small child. And what I saw was that my dog had a hold of what looked like its arm, but the creature was vibrating just frantically, almost like a paint shaker vibrates.
Gotcha.
Where you can't clearly see the outline. And in seconds, I saw this thing start to tear my dog apart, ripping her head back completely in half, blood everywhere, and standing there, literally mutilating my dog. And I screamed at the moment that I saw this for my dog to let go, but it was obviously too late. And I witnessed my dog falling to the ground, almost imploding into herself, as if a hole opened up in the side of her body and she started to literally, circularly enter into a void where her body was disappearing in front of my eyes.
God.
It was horrid. And all my emotions came to bear at that second. I ran forward, took this branch, and swung as hard as I could. And I hit this creature in the head, knocking it to the ground. That, in fact, was the encounter.
Well, that was the first part of the encounter. In other
That's
words,
right.
You hit this creature, opened what you thought was a fatal wound in its head.
I hit it hard enough to knock it 4.5-5 feet back and split its skull open approximately 1.5 by 1 inches.
You know, a lot of people have criticized you for that, for hitting the creature, but I'll tell you right now, a lot of pet owners would have done precisely the same thing without even thinking about it, just reaction.
And there was no question that the sight of my dog, Susie, being literally torn in half, without any question, was one of the worst things I have ever seen in my life.
Well,
unless you're there actually experiencing something like this, I think it's ridiculous to judge anybody in what they should have done or know themselves what they really would have done.
That's right, Robert, but that's what people do.
Right, it's really hard to imagine unless you saw this in your own vicinity in front of your own eyes.
Armchair contactees. Anyway, so then you sat there for a long period of time virtually in shock, and
I began to get sick, and very violently sick. I threw up.
You were hyperventilating.
I was hyperventilating.
I saw that in the videotape.
I couldn't catch my breath. I tried to stand. I would fall to the ground. I was not in control of most of my bodily functions. But to make a short story out of the long, I tried to regain my composure, which took a long time. And while I had the time to literally lay there on the ground, I had time to look at what I had hit, realizing that it was not a child, realizing that it was not a figment of my imagination, that in fact, it was a being like nothing I had ever seen before.
Dead, you thought?
Dead, absolutely.
And then you also finally had time to notice an object hovering in the woods nearby, which we call the obelisk. A lot of people think, and I thought originally, that it was some sort of transport craft, but obviously it wasn't big enough for that. A hovering obelisk, is that fair?
Yes.
Not obelisk, sort of a... I don't know. How do you describe it?
We coined the name obelisk because it's a marquee-type diamond-shaped laying it on its side. It was approximately 4 feet wide, 2.5 to 3 feet high, and about 9.5 feet long.
And hovering in midair?
Hovering in midair, approximately 38 inches off of the ground.
You got the guts, and you walked up and touched that thing.
Yes, I heard this at first. I heard this sound, this harmonic sound through the woods. I at first thought it was another hiker or camper, and I thought, these guys can help me because I really needed some help because I was so sick. I could barely move, and I was excited about the fact that maybe this was another camper. I ran to where this sound was, and I could not find anything at first. Finally, out of the woods, I saw what looked like a mirage, like a shimmering shape through the trees,
right,
where the trees actually looked like they were bending a little bit in the light. But in fact, what I was looking at was the other side. On the other side of this grove of trees was this object, and I finally got strength enough to walk up to it, take a look, and actually fell against this hovering craft. And as I did so, I burned my hand like you would burn it if you touched a dry ice. It was extremely cold.
Gotcha.
And its consistency was that of like granite or marble. Hard as stone, shiny, with almost a fibrous look underneath the shiny surface, but absolutely solid, as I first thought.
And you took photographs not only of this alien with the, we thought, fatal wound, but of the obelisk as well.
Yes.
And we have those photographs on the website tonight, as we have had them before. And you can see this creature, folks, and you can see the obelisk. At any rate, you remained there for a period of time. Finally, you decided to take this creature with you. Why did you do that, by the way?
Well, at first, what I was thinking is, could I hide this? Hide it away from the animals that frequented this area so that maybe I could come back and we could take it somewhere and have somebody look at this. Because it was quite obviously not something that you'd see every day.
Sure.
And so my intent, out of pure emotion, not necessarily good logic, was to drag it over to the hillside, the body, cover it with a thermal blanket that I had in my pack, put stones around it to protect it somewhat, and then leave and come back. Well, as I went to move the body, I found out that it was extremely light in weight. It was approximately 50 pounds, which for its size was extremely light. I wrapped it up in the thermal blanket. I rolled it up like a sleeping bag, put my pack straps around it, picked it up, and started to look for a place to put it. Because there were no stones in the area that could actually be dug up, I could not do what I had originally thought to do. So I started to literally walk back down the trail carrying this wrapped up body, and soon found myself back to where I had left my car.
Yes, Jonathan carried the creature out. He didn't drag the creature out.
Gotcha.
As some people have been very confused about. No,
all right. Carried the creature out and placed it. What kind of car do you have?
I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
So you put it in the back of the Jeep?
I threw it in the back of the Jeep, closed the door, and got in and decided to try to get home before I was, you know, going to be completely sick.
You made it home okay?
Stopping along the way to get out and relieved myself from time to time, but I got home, drove in my carport, and sat there for about 15 minutes, imagining that maybe this was an illusion. Maybe none of this had happened. Maybe I had made this up in my mind,
yeah,
and it was just a bad dream. When I looked in the rearview mirror, I could see the thermal blanket in the back of my Jeep, and I knew it wasn't.
So You took that creature, ultimately, and put it where?
I took the creature out of the Jeep and put it in my garage, which was next to my carport, in a freezer, a crypt freezer, like a coffin freezer.
One of those long freezers. I've got one, too.
Right. Which was semi-empty, 99% empty at the time. I didn't put it in there with my steaks and roasts. But
you didn't have any steaks and roasts in there?
No, I didn't.
That's good.
But I put it in there, and I closed the door, locked it, and went in the house. And actually, at the time, I was considering, again, not thinking very clearly, what am I going to do with this? Am I going to bury it? Am I going to take it and leave it off at somebody's doorstep anonymously? I don't know what to do. But I was so sick at the time, I could not conceptualize what to do at that moment. So I went in my house and tried to get healthy, drinking water, laying down,
sure,
trying to recover. Approximately 8 hours later, again, what went through my mind was, this couldn't have happened. What must be in my freezer was my dog. Maybe my dog got killed. I brought it home, and my mind just would not let me get around it. So I made myself go back out to the freezer. I took it out of the freezer, and I unwrapped it, and I saw that, in fact, it was, in fact, this creature. I took it into the entry of my house, which is a rec room area. I opened it up, and I videotaped what I had brought home. And, Art, you have seen that videotape.
I indeed have. Not many people have seen the videotape. A lot have seen the stills. You also took still photographs of the creature, as well as the obelisk. One question people always have is, how would you have the presence of mind to take photographs of the creature and the obelisk on the scene?
Well, probably the only thing I can actually say to that is, I knew I had my cameras with me. Photography was a semi-hobby with me. And I thought, here is this thing I can't move in the middle of the woods, this big stone floating object that I couldn't believe. And I thought, if I can photograph this, at least I will be able to know that I wasn't going insane.
You know, with many of the very strange things that have happened with extraterrestrials and UFOs, the interesting thing that always fascinates me is when people say, how could you have the presence of mind? When many of these people would turn around and say, well, gee, if I only had my camera, I would have taken a picture of it.
Oh, worse yet, listen, if it had come out that this was just a story, and Dr. Reed said, well, you know, I had two cameras, but I didn't think to take pictures, people would go, oh, give us a break.
That's exactly it. One of the things that have really upset and really infuriated the few critics that we have is the fact that we do have so much information and so much evidence, and they can't stand it.
I know.
And a lot of this evidence is absolutely undeniable.
Well, the photographs are what they are, and I've got to tell you, after all this time, nary one person, there have been a lot of complaints, but nobody has shot a hole in it. Nobody has shot a hole in it. So we'll finish up this story and tell you what's new coming up next. My guest is Dr. Jonathan Reed from Parts Unknown and Robert Wraith. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell.
I can see you lying back in your seven dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care of my mind. You've been creeping around my back.
KXNT. Take a ride, call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell from the Kingdom of Nye.
With Robert Wraith and Dr. Jonathan Reed, and the story of the most controversial alien encounter in modern times. Back now to Dr. Jonathan Reed and Robert Wraith, and let's finish up, because I think we can do it pretty quickly. You took photographs of the creature, of the obelisk. They're on my website right now. And in addition, Doctor, picking it up, you've got this thing in the freezer, you pull it out, you take photographs of it, and then what happens? You put it back in the freezer?
Yes.
Put it back in the freezer.
And to get to, I think, the point you are getting to is approximately 3.5 days after I had brought it home. I went out to the garage to basically get ready to show this. I had been showing this to several people.
You're frozen stiff.
My frozen stiff, my semi-frozen stiff.
Yeah.
And I had made arrangements to show it to somebody who had canceled. I went to the garage to basically put away some of the equipment that I had gotten out, some lights and a table and a few other things. And I heard a noise coming from behind the freezer. And I thought this noise was maybe the compressor going out or something, and I thought, uh-oh, you know, if that happens, I'm going to be transferring this to my my refrigerator, which it wouldn't have fit, but I thought it may have been rats in my garage, a kind of a scratching sound coming from behind the freezer.
But it wasn't rats, was it?
No, it wasn't. I went to investigate, and I found that the sound was coming from within the freezer. And I thought, uh-oh, you know, maybe they've gnawed a hole inside. And without thinking, I just opened the top of the freezer.
Yeah.
And to my surprise, my creature sat up and looked right at me and let out a scream that basically forced me back away from the freezer.
We have that, and that's actually recorded on audio tape, that scream, isn't it?
I also have it,
yeah,
in case you wanted it.
If you have it there, play it.
Okay, this scream was recorded. This creature did this several times. I did not record this at the time this first happened.
Doesn't matter.
I literally slammed the door and ran for the woods.
That's right.
Back into the house.
Yeah, but still, for effect, though not recorded at that instant, here is the scream. Doctor, be my guest. Nobody wants anything sitting up in their freezer doing that. Nobody.
No, definitely not me either. But at that moment, I realized I had something that was alive and very injured. And I was, again, very afraid. And it took a great deal of courage to go back in there with my friend and, again, see this thing sit up and scream. But it was moving very slowly at this time.
Well, it was frozen, half frozen.
And it had a wound in its head.
That's right.
But I had been handling this thing for 3 days.
Uh-huh.
So you can imagine my feelings. One
Art?
Yes.
Did you have an opportunity to see the video we sent you?
Yes.
The new one?
Yes.
Which clearly shows the alien blinking. And
This is something that people don't know about. It actually shows early evidence that this creature was alive, though it's evidence that even Dr. Reed himself didn't notice until later.
Right. The original video that I shot in my house of unwrapping the creature and basically documenting it, I felt was a dead piece of meat at that time. Somebody brought it to our attention a few days before the Laughlin International UFO Conference and brought me a tape showing me that, in fact,
the creature blinked.
that the creature not only blinked, but his head moves, his whole facial muscles move and change shape.
But I can understand, A, you would not have noticed that, and B, that that should be true since the creature was still alive. I mean, it's that simple.
And right. The reaction in Laughlin was one of complete shock. And you have to understand that I saw this tape the night before we spoke. And I just about fell out of my chair.
Well, sure.
When I saw it.
It was like
experiencing
amazing. It all over again.
Yeah, but it's consistent with the rest of the story. I mean, yeah. The creature was not dead, period.
Right.
All right, fine.
But I didn't think I had any video at that point of the creature being alive.
Well, when you've got a camera running, you discover a lot of stuff later. I mean, that's
right.
Just the way it is. All right, so anyway, how did this creature finally... or did it finally expire? In other words, when...
No, it didn't. What finally happened is through the process of elimination, not necessarily the most intelligent of processes, we tried to find somebody to help us. We tried to go through the process of calling people and finding out what to do with this thing. What if you had this? And we found that our house had been gone through, that we were being followed by... infamous vehicles. We had been run off the road twice. And through all of this, we were trying to gather some kind of idea, again, what to do. And in the end, what happened was my house was torn apart, literally, boards out of the walls and the floors and holes everywhere, and the freezer taken out of my garage, the door ripped out of the side of my garage to get the freezer out, and no body.
So that creature is in somebody else's hands now, and it may, for all we know, still be alive.
Well, I think it is still alive, because I had some other evidence that I wrote in our book. That in fact, when I went into the garage, I saw some footprints from this small creature going toward the wall, stopping. And I believe it dimensionally shifted. So I believe it got away.
Well, of course, that's supposition on your part. With the freezer gone and with the house ransacked, that part has to be supposition.
Exactly.
But, okay. Let's see, doctor. This has ruined your life, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, you had a practice going?
Yes, I was working as a research physician, a psychologist at the current university that I was at. And that is all gone. My life was taken from me.
And you've been on the run since then, haven't you? You still are basically on the run.
On and off, less now that we've gone public, thanks to people like you. It has lessened some of the problems, other than occasionally we have come up again against some pretty hard times. A year ago, I was shot in a parking lot after giving a lecture in San Diego a few days before. I consider that to be fairly serious.
I'd consider it to be real serious, and it sure would keep my feet moving.
With ongoing problems being followed, with ongoing problems with computers being taken down, people's houses being broken into, people being beat up for talking about my information, I'd say it's an ongoing problem.
Yeah, so would I. Robert, how have you fared through this? Have you suffered any of the same problems Dr. Reed has?
I've some threats, but a lot of problems with any kind of communication that I have. Telephone, cell phones, computer, everything. When I got back from Laughlin, I found that somebody had broken into my place, basically, and taken... The top of my computer off and messed around inside. So it's an ongoing problem with these people. What they're looking for or how they're doing it, it's psychological, and it's done to create such incredible amounts of stress.
Maybe they think one of you has evidence that you have not yet talked about or turned over or made public.
Well, that is true. There is one piece of evidence that we haven't talked about tonight. I discovered at the scene in the woods a small metal object that I call the Link artifact.
The Link. Yeah, we've got a photo of that on the website, too.
Yes, and I've had that analyzed and stored away, and I no longer have control of that item. I want to make that perfectly clear that I do not have that with me. But some people think that they can get that information out of me, and they have tried several times. And, again, we have hard evidence that can be viewed, hard evidence that can be seen, that's been looked at by other people, that has been analyzed, that this is some type of a controller of sorts.
You've got a website, and obviously the latest information is going to be up there, and you've finally written a book.
Yes.
Called Link, an Extraterrestrial Odyssey.
Yes.
Would it be all right if I gave that phone number out?
Of course, yes. It's what, $19.95 plus shipping and handling?
Right.
And there is a phone number to get it?
There's a phone number, 1-800-905-8367. 1-800-905-8367.
And it covers in excruciating detail all of the things that fit in between this story that we've compacted together tonight, and there's a very great deal to be put in there to fill in the blanks. That's in the book, right?
That's in the book, and the emails, thousands of them, Art, thousands, have been overwhelmingly in support. This information, there's a lot of armchair investigators and all this posturing and nonsense.
I know.
Daniel Sheen talked about how there is so much insight in the UFO community. We're not there to speak to them. We're here to speak to the heart and the mind of the people. And in Laughlin, it was overwhelming. The people just loved it. They were completely supportive, and it was absolutely fantastic.
All right, we spoke in Laughlin to over 700 people.
I heard that, yeah.
And again, some of the hierarchy within the UFO community has postured and has questions, and that's perfectly reasonable. But to deny someone the right to tell their story is not the way to go. Now, I want to thank Bob Brown from the International UFO Congress, who invited us to speak in Laughlin. He's a very gracious man, and he did a good job to give us a forum to tell our story. And again, the people have spoken. They loved the information. They know it's true. There have been hundreds of people who have seen other objects like I've seen.
You know,
have seen other creatures like I've seen.
New people are coming together, people like Jonathan and others, and the idea is to create a unified forum, one conducive to the elements of uncensored communication. We want to allow for a safe place for people to tell of their events and events happening all around the world without character assassination and things of this nature. People should not have to have their lives and their loved ones' lives rummaged through simply because people don't understand or they are afraid of the information like Dr. Reed has to offer to them.
And this is what we are going to be doing. We are gathering a team, a very dedicated team who will help bring my encounter and many others to the world to see, to hear, and to let people witness for themselves what is going on out here. You know, Art, it's no longer a question in regard to whether alien life or extraterrestrial life exists. It's absolutely a fact. And I'm not the one saying it. You talk to people like, for instance, Daniel Sheen is an incredible, brilliant attorney who spoke in Laughlin and talked about creating a new forum.
Yeah.
Where people can create a new world view and prepare for embracing this idea.
And there's many others, individuals like Ron Russell, who studied and researched crop circles, Dr. Lloyd Pye, Dr. Simeon Hine, Larry Warren, and many, many others.
George Knapp, Jacques Vallée, Jaime Masson, Don Ware.
Oh, the list goes on endlessly.
And these are some of the people who have supported me and my issue of taking this to the people. Art, we are going to go to Japan within the next 6 months.
Are you?
And present this on a world forum. And I, you don't know that I was going to do this, but I want to give you an invitation to go with us if and when you feel appropriate to present this truth to the world.
Well, that's ever so kind of you, but as you know, I am retiring.
And I know that.
And so I'm really happy for you. I hope that, and I trust, frankly, that the Japanese will give it the proper exposure. You may, in fact, if you want to know the truth, you do, you'll be a lot better off with the Japanese media than you will be the American media.
Yes, I've been there, Art.
It's an unfortunate thing, Art, when it comes to the reality, to truth, such as what's going on in our weather, as you've talked about a great deal, and Linda Boltenhau, and Jonathan, and others. It's a reality, but when it comes to the mainstream American media, unfortunately, they attack it.
I know.
They attack it on one hand, and in the next hand, they talk about these incredible things happening.
But that is what happens when we look at things that we have fear of. This does not have to be about fear. This is about hope for all of us. And I personally believe that if we can start to look at this thing not as a fear-based idea.
Well, let me stop you there for a second, Doctor. Let's consider your story.
Mm-hmm.
As I consider your story, I'm not sure that I'm comfortable that it's a warm and fuzzy story, and I'm not sure that I'm comfortable that I should be fearful of your encounter or encounters like your encounter. I'm not sure which it should be. I'm not sure what your encounter tells us about how we should feel about them.
Well,
sure. And
let's put it this way, Art. In regard to the alien being, which I took to fondly calling Freddy, I was in his presence for hours and hours while he was alive. He never attacked me. In fact, he almost playfully gestured to me. He had the strength of probably three times what I did. He probably could have torn me apart just with his muscles. But he was extremely gentle. This was an intelligent creature. The ones we need to be afraid of may be within our own camp.
Yeah, no kidding. Like the ones who went through your house.
Exactly.
I'm with you there. Well, all right, so all of this is in your book. Again, it's called Link, an Extraterrestrial Odyssey. I take it you've not turned it over to Amazon.com yet, or have you?
Not yet.
Okay, well,
soon to be done. Can I give out the website address?
Yes, you may.
www.odysseylink.net.
And we've got a link on our website right now, as well as the photographs. And the phone number to get the book, which is the only way I guess you can get the book right now, right?
Well, there's one other way.
All right, well, let me give the phone number. It's 1-800-905-8367. That's 1-800-905-8367. Or you can write, I guess. Is that right?
That's right. We now have a newsletter, which is brand new, for people who do not have computers, and there are a lot of them.
Yeah, there are.
And all they have to do is write to the word Link, L-I-N-K,
right,
P.O. Box 16007, Seattle, Washington. The zip is 98116.
All right, let me give that again. Link, P.O. Box 16007, Seattle, Washington. Zip code 98116, right?
That's right.
All right, well, we're out of time. It's not enough time to have done a follow-up on this, but I'm glad we got to do it. I did hear a few new things tonight. I had no idea the alien had been that apparently friendly.
There's so much more to say, and perhaps we'll have the opportunity to do that with your predecessor, but I'd like to say I'm really going to miss you, Art.
Actually,
you're a hell of a human being.
Thank you. He's going to be my successor. I'm not sure who my predecessor was. It might be Long John Neville.
Successor. Excuse me.
Art, I want to say thank you so very much for giving me the opportunity to come out from behind the rock to tell my truth and for giving me the opportunity to do this with your listeners. Thank you so very much.
Doctor, thank you. Good luck to you, and Robert, to you as well, both of you in Japan. You're going to enjoy that.
Yes, and we'll be in touch, Art.
All right. You too, take care.
Thank you.
You too.
Good night. All right. There you have it. That's Dr. Jonathan Reed and Robert Raitt with the most controversial alien encounter story,
pictures to go with on my website right now,
in modern times. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.